Let's join our hearts together, please, for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, for this blessed opportunity we have to come to this Thy house, we once again thank Thee. We thank Thee for the opportunity to worship Thee. And we worship Thee because Thou hast done so much for us. Every good and every perfect gift does indeed come from Thee. Even the very air that we breathe is a blessing of Thee. And help us to remember that we ourselves and our lives and everything that blesses our lives is a blessing from Thee. And, O Lord, help us to be mindful, more mindful, to praise Thee for thank Thee for that which Thou hast given us. Now, again, we thank Thee for the opportunity of worship. We thank Thee for Thy Word, and we pray that as we read together Thy Word and the exhortation from it, may honor and glorify Thee and strengthen and edify Thy people. We thank Thee for the church here, each member, each friend, and pray that Thy richest blessings might be with her, that she may grow and prosper in every way that would seem good in Thy sight. Watch over and care for us, we pray, and forgive us of our sins. And this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and amen. I invite your attention this morning to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, and verses 28 through 33. Again, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, and verses 28 through 33. And these verses read, and this is Jesus speaking, by the way. As those of you that have your Bibles, and most of them are red letter editions, you see that Jesus is speaking, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, or this is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. All right, again, Matthew 6, 28 through 33. And why take ye thought for raiment, clothing that is? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That little verse there, there's a children's song on that particular verse. Beautiful song, by the way. All right. And what I want to use this for text this morning is verse 33, and I'll read it again. And it reads, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All right, I want to say first of all that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are the same. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are the same. I read just one day this past week, I suppose, one of the parables, and the great majority of them, by the way, if not all of them, about the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. And part of that, the first portion of that parable mentioned it, called it the kingdom of God. And the second portion of the parable, same lesson that is, called it the kingdom of heaven, or vice versa. I'm sure it's one way or another. But and there's one lesson, for instance, in Matthew, may call it the kingdom of heaven. But if you read the same lesson in Mark or Luke, then or John, if it's found there, then it'll be called the kingdom of God. Because the gospel, according to Matthew, is the only book of the Bible where the term kingdom of heaven is used. Every other time in every other book of the Bible, it's called kingdom of God. So, again, the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are the same. Alright? The teaching is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So I want to emphasize the word seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We must, this is important, we must be born again to seek and enter the kingdom of God. I want to repeat that again. We must be born again to seek and to enter the kingdom of God. And this, by the way, is taught where Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5. Again, John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 3 and verses 3, 4, and 5. And Jesus said, and reads rather, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily. And by the way, that's an expression that means this is important. Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, again, this is important, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's his natural birth, by the way, because when we were in our mother's womb, we were in a fluid, alright? Born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the idea is that a person must be born of water, natural birth, and the spiritual birth in order to enter the kingdom of God. Now, this is not something, by the way, that comes automatically. That is our being. When we're born of the Spirit, we're not automatically in the kingdom of God. We were not in the kingdom of God when we were born again. But now here's the we say that's the bad news. Here's the good news. But we did get the ability to seek and to enter the kingdom of God when we were born of the Spirit of God. Now there are others that say, well, you've got to enter the kingdom before you're born again. But actually, Jesus said, you're born again first, and then after you're born again, then you can seek the kingdom of God, you can see the kingdom of God, and you can enter into the kingdom of God. And listen, we had the ability to enter the kingdom of God then, and we have the ability to enter the kingdom of God now. And this is something we are to actually to seek to enter into the kingdom of God. Notice what Jesus said, part of the Sermon on the Mount again, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, where he says here, this is Matthew 7 verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, if we call Jesus the Lord, then that's a beautiful thing to do. It's a way that honors and glorifies Him when we call Him Lord, because He is the Lord. But it's not just that we say, Lord, Lord, that we enter the kingdom of heaven. But we can enter the kingdom of heaven, by the way, it's called that in that verse of Scripture. We enter the kingdom of heaven when we do the will of our Father, which is in heaven. Now, I remind you, well, I'll get into that later. But then in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Jesus didn't say that, but it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Now, notice what he said there, that we must at least be willing. We don't necessarily have to have a tremendous tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. But if there is tribulation, then we must be willing to resist the tribulation and then go forward in the service of God and enter into the kingdom of God. Now, who wrote that? Luke, the beloved physician, who also wrote the third gospel record, the gospel according to Luke. So who, with whom was Luke traveling? Well, there were a number in that group of people serving the Lord together, but one of those that was in that group that where Luke was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, and I've said before about him, and I don't think I'm far wrong on this, other than Jesus Christ, maybe the most spiritual man that's ever lived on the face of the earth was the Apostle Paul. He went through much tribulation, and regardless of circumstances, resistance, or whatever may have presented itself in his life, he was willing to go forward in the service of God and would not deny his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to be faithful to Him as faithful to Him as he possibly could, regardless of opposition. And so it was them and others that we must enter the kingdom of God, even with great tribulation, if it comes to that. Now, and so we are to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, notice what he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, to whom was Jesus speaking when he preached the Sermon on the Mount? If you go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, we find these verses. Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2. This is an introduction to the Sermon on the Mount, which is contained in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." Of every disciple. Alright, and then verse 2 says, "And he opened," and Jesus, I put the name there, "he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." And so the Sermon on the Mount was to the disciples. And so Jesus was teaching even the disciples, the followers of Jesus, those who are closest to Jesus, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." In fact, he was speaking to his disciples. In another place in here, and I don't remember just exactly where it is, when he said, "Unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God." And I can't remember if it's called kingdom of heaven in that verse or not. But, and then he was teaching his disciples, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He was teaching his disciples there. If you don't do the will of your Father which is in heaven, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, which again is the same as the kingdom of God. Now, and so he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." I cannot enter the kingdom of God for someone else. And no one can enter the kingdom of God for me. And yet at the same time, we can encourage one another. And by the way, that's one of the important reasons we need to be here at the house of God in worship. And that is that we encourage, that we exhort one another. And I think, brothers and sisters, I'll put it to you this way. Just your presence here is an encouragement to me. And just your being here is an encouragement to all the others. That is, you want to go forward in the service of God. And you're telling others, just by being here, whether you say it or not, that you want to go forward in the service of God. And listen, that's a very important reason to be here. Of course, we praise the Lord, but it's an exhortation one to the other when we do that. But we can encourage one another. We can encourage one another to be faithful and enter the joys of the kingdom of God. But we, each of us, must enter into it ourselves. All right? He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Seek first the kingdom of God. We are to seek it before anything else. You know God's first commandment in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. And I don't mean to imply that's more important than the other nine or any other commandment that God gave in the Word of God. But God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And so that's why we're to seek first the kingdom of God. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now remember, and with this, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Again, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. "Now concerning the collection of the saints," "as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come." That is, when we have, the Lord willing, you have a special meeting in April. Well, we don't normally take up offerings there. Well, if we give as we ought to all the time, then there won't be the need of that sort of thing. I can remember my home church when we had special meetings in July, big meetings in July that we would always pick up offerings. Well, if we give as often, we don't need to do that thing. A lot of churches don't do that. Excuse me. All right. Now, but the idea is we're to give as the Lord has prospered. What's he teaching there? He's teaching the way that they gave in the Old Testament scriptures. He's teaching the proverb the same way. Now think about it this way. Those people were under the law, and they heard the gospel preached, and they began to function at the church, and they gave to the church. Well, how do you think they gave to the church? The same way they gave while they were under the law. That is, they tithed. They gave at least 10% then. You know, I'm thankful for Catherine for many reasons. But one of the reasons I look back to the first week I was at Canaan Primitive Baptist Church near Flat Rock, Illinois. I'd been called there. I felt burdened to go there. You know how the Lord works this amazing thing. Before I ever went up there, and all the way while we were driving up there from Middle Georgia, I knew that I was going to be the pastor of Canaan Primitive Baptist Church. It's a small church. And they weren't giving their pastor much. I tell you what I got when I first went there. $60 a week. That's right. 1976, that's what I got. $60 a week. And that first month, they raised it up to $80 a week. And most of the time we were there, that's what we got. Catherine told me that we need to tithe. We hadn't been doing it there. But she told me that we need to tithe. That's why we can't afford to do that. And listen, I won't go into, I can't remember, not 44 years ago, I can't remember everything that was said then, but I was very thankful that she showed me that we need to tithe. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you may think that that's a hard thing to do. You can't afford to do that. I'll put it to you this way. I can give you several stories, but I won't this time. I have never heard of anyone that started tithing that felt like it was a burden to them. They were blessed in many different ways. All of them were. And what I'm thinking right now, he says, I don't know where the money's gone. That is, I'm giving more money to the church. I can't tell the difference there. Even though he's giving more money to the church and probably doing everything else he's been doing, he says, I can't tell the difference. And a lot of people have that same kind of testimony. And the Lord will bless. Kevin and I were at a church that we probably had every Sunday about as many as were here. Maybe some more sometimes, but about this number, I suppose. And those people tried. You remember over in Alabama, there were some terrible tornadoes. I know there's one recently. The terrible tornadoes. And the church, let's see, the Mountain View Primitive Baptist Church on Sand Mountain, they said, we're going to start helping people out. And churches sent them. This little church that where Catherine and I were a group of people, the majority of them tithed, they sent $10,000 and weren't hurt for doing that. Now that's what can be done when people are willing to give. Now look at people. Some of them probably had more money than you would think just by looking at it. In fact, I know they did. I don't know what they had, but I know they didn't go around looking as if they were filthy rich. They didn't go like that. Maybe they weren't, but they had plenty. But the fact is, the Lord blessed them to do that. And so, listen. But listen, remember the key in that verse of Scripture is on the first day of the week. We're to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, listen, brothers and sisters, the Lord will bless. Now, I think about the Old Testament Scriptures. You think people couldn't do certain things. You know, there was a year of Jubilee. It was every 50th year. The 49th year was a sabbatical year. So they didn't plant anything. They didn't harvest anything. In either of those years, God blessed them that in the 48th year, they got enough for the 49th year and for the 50th year and for the first year of the next 50. God blessed them that way. God is able to bless. He has handed not short that he cannot save. So we need to remember that. God will bless us when we give or we do anything that he would have us to do. God is to be first in our lives, brothers and sisters. God is worthy of it. And the reason he's worthy of it is because he has done so much for us. He saved us by his amazing grace. I think about that. He's given us not only that, but he's given us the hope of salvation to know that when this life is over, then we have a home in heaven. I may pass from this life soon. I'll be here 20 more years. I don't really anticipate being here that long, but however long I may be here, God has a home in heaven for me. And if I pass from this life, my spirit and soul will go on to paradise, as Jesus promised the thief on the cross. And the rest of you, I can say the very same thing. God has saved us by His amazing grace. So we're unworthy of the very least of His mercies. God has saved us by His amazing grace. God has given us the church. The church of Jesus Christ is a blessing to us, brothers and sisters. And thank the Lord we have it. And God help us to be as faithful to the Lord as we can. And being as faithful to the Lord as we can, part of that is being faithful to the church of Jesus Christ. And not so much to the church, but to the Lord Himself. And then God has blessed us with families. And a family is a great thing. I thank the Lord for godly parents. And my mother is still living. I thank the Lord for my brothers and my one sister. I thank the Lord for our three sons, our three daughters-in-law, and our two granddaughters. And that, you know, those grandchildren here, they're almost as cute as our granddaughters. Now, you know about how serious I am when I say that, but your children are cute. Thank the Lord for them, and thank the Lord they're here. And that's a blessing to see them in the congregation. God has blessed us with material goods. Well, I know we labor for these things and so forth, and yet God gave us the ability to labor for those things. And so God has blessed us with that. And things that we take for granted, such as the very air that we breathe, God blessed us with that. And so, brothers and sisters, may we remember all the things as much as possible that God has done for us and put Him first. And I tell you another reason, and that is because Jesus put us first. That's right. He put us first because He went to the cross to die for us. We were more important than He was, and therefore, and for that reason, Jesus went to the cross for us. And so, yes, we should put Him first because He put us first. All right, and He says, now seek ye first the kingdom of God. All right, what is the kingdom of God? I'll remind you again, it's also the kingdom of heaven. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, there's the only verse of Scripture, as far as I know, that gives us a definition of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a reason that he said it's not meat and drink, because there among the saints at Rome, which is called the church at Rome, there was a disagreement, and not a friendly disagreement maybe, with some of them. Because there are three different factions there. One, you can eat all meat, solid, you know, flesh of animals. Two, you can eat no meat. Three, you can eat some meats, but not other meats. And the Scripture says that there were certain meats that they couldn't eat. And I won't go into that because animals have been offered to idols, and so you won't get in a situation where you might be eating something like that. But again, it's not meat, it's not the natural or carnal things of this world, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now think about this. The ultimate in any kingdom, that's the same by the way as the kingdom of God, but the ultimate in any kingdom is to please the king and be blessed by the king or enjoy his favor because of what you did to please the king. One example in the Scriptures is King Ahasuerus, king of Persia, and Mordecai, who was, by the way, to be put to death. Ahasuerus found out that this man Mordecai told about a plot to kill the king. And he told one of the king's servants, and the servant called the king, and they investigated and found out that was indeed true. And those two men, or however many there were, I can't remember right now, they were put to death because they wanted to kill the king. And so Ahasuerus, the king of Persia, wife of Esther, said, now what am I going to do? I'm just making sure, paraphrasing this. What am I going to do to honor someone who's done such a thing? And so he said, and what he did was, he rode on the king's horse. He would wear a crown, at least a horse like the king's horse. He would wear a robe like the king was accustomed to wearing. He would wear a crown, at least like the king's crown. And he would have one of his more noble servants go before Mordecai on this horse and say, "Bow to me, bow to me, bow to me." But let me put it to you this way. There were things done to Mordecai that had never been done in the kingdom of Persia. Now think about this, brothers and sisters. In the kingdom of God, what we're to do is honor the Lord and please the Lord. And when we please the Lord, that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this kingdom, then He will indeed bless us. Those things that Mordecai had received, that's a one-time thing. But then, the Lord blesses us over and over and over with the blessings of His kingdom. When we love God, brothers and sisters, and walk in His righteousness, He blesses us. Remember, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not just righteousness, but it's also peace. It's also joy in the Holy Ghost. And if they don't come at the same time, they come rather quickly after one another. And so, when we love God and walk in His righteousness, He blesses us. He gives us peace and joy. And there is peace in our lives when we know that we have done something that pleased the Lord. And that peace that's in our lives gives us or blesses us with joy in the Holy Ghost. And God blesses us with His felt presence. Now listen, brothers and sisters, I don't know of a greater blessing in this life than when God blesses us with His felt presence. Alright, brothers and sisters? And so we are to seek first the kingdom of God. And we are also to seek first God's righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There was, in Romans 10, I'm not going to turn over to read that right now, but Romans 10 mentions the fact of the Jews. Paul said, "My heart's desire and prayers to God is concerning the Jews, unbelieving Jews, that they might be saved." He wasn't talking about their being born again. He wasn't talking about their being in heaven someday. He was talking about their being saved to the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the kingdom of God. And what he says concerning them, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, but they're going after their own righteousness. That is, that was the righteousness of the law. Didn't God establish that? Yes, He did. But Jesus fulfilled the law. And so when they tried to worship God in a way that had been fulfilled, that was not God's righteousness, that was their righteousness. And they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, if we don't submit ourselves to the righteousness of God, then God will not bless us. God help us to remember these things. Now, what does it say concerning this? "And all these things shall be added unto you." One thing, God did not promise that we would get rich. God did not promise that. Nothing wrong with being rich, but God did not promise that we would get rich. Look at in the same chapter, Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33, and he says here, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You might say, "Well, what about a home to live in? What about an automobile to drive?" Well, whatever the needs you have in life, God will grant those. If we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. God did promise the basic needs of life. You will turn over with me to Psalm 37. And I want to read, first of all, the first four verses. Psalm 37 and the first four verses. And then I want to sit down and read another verse. Alright, these first four verses read, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, if we, and really the land of Canaan, was a type and shadow, I believe, of the kingdom of God. And so if we trust in the Lord and do well, we'll be blessed with the kingdom of God. Now, it's easy to look at wicked people, evil people, that we know are that way, and I can't think of any really right now, but you may know some, and they're good friends. They're filthy rich. Well, I tell you, God says, don't worry about them. It's easy to say, well, if they're doing it that way, I can do it that way, and I'll be all right too. Well, I tell you again, there are more important things than the worldly things of this world. And then David says in this beautiful 25th verse of the same psalm, and he says, I have been young and am now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Beg pardon. So the idea is that God will provide the needs that we have. There is always uncertainty in our lives, and that's why we're to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And it seems there's more uncertainty in these days that we live. And you know about it as well as I do. And I won't try to get into that this morning. But there's all kinds of uncertainty. But listen, the promise is, regardless of whether it was in the first century, in Jesus' day, and then later, as the Apostle Paul and others were going about, the same lesson is, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. We praise the Lord, God will take care of us. I remember Elder McKinder, right, when we were, a group of us got together, and we started publishing the Trumpet of Truth, mostly by Brother Mullis and Brother Wright. But he said this, if we praise the Lord will take care of the church. That's a good thing to remember. If the church praises the Lord will take care of the church. The Lord help us to remember that. Now, remember this. God's promise remains sure. It was not something for just those in the first century. It was not for them. It's as true today as it was the day it was written by whomever wrote it. If we seek His kingdom, He will provide. We're not promised everything we want, but we will have everything we need. And God help us always remember that. There are spiritual treasures. I want you to look back in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. Matthew 6 verses 19 and 20. And Jesus said here, again, part of the Sermon on the Mount to His disciples, He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, I need to understand what he's saying there. What does he mean by laying up treasures in heaven? Well, when I mentioned earlier, when I pass away, if I pass away before the Lord comes, the same with you, that if we pass away before He comes, then our spirit and soul will be in paradise with the Lord. And someday, our bodies will be raised, resurrected, and we'll be body, soul, and spirit with the Lord forever and ever. World without end. Well, He's not talking about that. What's our subject? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? And so there's a heaven down here. It's the kingdom of heaven. And we can lay up spiritual treasures here in the kingdom of heaven. I'll remind you, again, it's a part of the Sermon on the Mount, and the predominant subject of the Sermon on the Mount is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes it's called the kingdom of God. And I text it is. And I read another verse of scripture in there. It's called the kingdom of heaven. But, so we can lay up treasures in the kingdom of heaven as we live here in this world. And then Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. Beautiful verse of scripture. It says, or it reads, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And it added no sorrow with it. You see, we've been blessed for a lot of things. Let's see. I remember someone that recently, not far from here, was a member of a Primitive Baptist church, not far from here, and I'll ask you where, and I don't know if that person's still in that church or not. But anyway, I just noticed that she got a little ding in a brand new car. And she said, well, I just had that, so forth. And look, with faith, that's a blessing. A new car is a blessing. And yet with natural things like that, they're solid. Things like that happen. If this was a brand new suit, and it's not, one of the oldest ones I have, just for the record, but if it was a brand new suit and I walked out for some reason, grabbed it on something or caught it on something and tore a hole there, there's sorrow in that. And yet the blessings of the Lord, the spiritual blessings of the Lord, there is no sorrow with that. In the kingdom of God, there is no sorrow with that. Now let me say one thing. There is a fear that faithfulness to God will deprive us here in this life. Well, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, now remember this. The devil will reinforce that fear within each one of us. All of us, I suppose, we have a certain amount of fear, and that we won't have enough. Yet, and the devil, I promise you, will reinforce that fear. But I don't care what he may reinforce, God has promised, and all these things, all your needs, will be added unto you. Now, Jesus promised spiritual joy and life's needs when we are faithful. Turn over to Psalm 1, and I want to read the first three verses. Psalm 1 and the first three verses. And it reads, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That is, let's put it this way. When he's walking, when he's standing, and he's sitting, he's not with ungodly folks. All right. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, listen to this. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, that's God's promises. Now, he's going to be like a tree, what? By the rivers of water. What does rivers and water represent consistently in the Scriptures? I can't say every time, but consistently in the Scriptures, the Spirit of God. We'll be blessed with the Spirit of God, blessed with the communion of the Spirit of God, and we'll be able to bear fruit that is the fruit of the Spirit. And so, brothers and sisters, God has many promises for us when we're faithful. And so may the Lord bless us to seek His kingdom and His righteousness with the hope that He will bless us with the needs we have in life, whatever those needs may be. God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.